Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
With what is most likely our last guest on the alumni series, we have a good one saved for last, and that is former SA2 volleyball player Emily Turner. Emily finished her career on the court at Seton Hall with 460 kills, 150 blocks, 82 digs, 9 assists, and 4 service aces over the course of 4 years played. We chatted with Emily extensively about her experience as a whole at SA2, from academics to her faith to, of course, everything volleyball. How she got recruited and chose Seton Hall, coming all the way from her home state of Utah, and talked about the all-important transition from college sports to the working world, and so much more. Emily offered valuable insight that all SHU student-athletes can learn from, so we are pumped to share with all of our listeners. This episode with Emily was most certainly not short of lots of laughs, and great mentions of our strength and conditioning coach, one of Emily's most favorite people on campus, Angelo Gingerelli, who is brought up only a few times throughout this episode. So buckle up for a good one today for our last LMI episode. Without further ado, Emily Turner.
So welcome, Emily Turner, a graduate from Seton Hall University, playing volleyball here for 4 years and then transferred to Utah State to get her graduate schooling in. So I'm back in New Jersey after a wild plane ride back from Florida after a really good training trip. Jonathan, where are you at today?
Back home, Massachusetts, about a week or so, not even, before going back to New Jersey to get winter training started before the season. So enjoy my last few days back home.
And our special guest, Emily, where are you located today for our last alumni episode for a little bit now?
I'm in my hometown in Utah, so about like 20 minutes north of Salt Lake City.
Ah, very nice. I have never been farther than Nebraska. It's definitely a location I want to go. I definitely want to go see Utah and out west. So,
it's beautiful.
I can only imagine.
Skiing, right? Is there a lot of skiing out there? Yeah.
I've actually never skied before, but.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I've also never skied before.
It's kind of a rarity in Utah, but I was never allowed to because of volleyball, and I just still haven't done it, so.
That's fair.
I am the same. I've never been allowed because of swimming, but also East Coast skiing is not, it's not that good.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not very good.
especially with whatever snow we get gets rained on for a day, and then it's completely gone within a second. Is that we got like 5 or 6 inches of snow. Yeah, we got 5 or 6 inches of snow while I was down in Florida, and it's gone. I didn't get to see any of it. So glad you are doing well, and I'm glad that you're enjoying being back home. So let's get into the Seton Hall career a little bit. So what was your most memorable moment here at Seton Hall University?
Oh, man, there's so many. I loved living there. Like, it was so fun. Like, just small, like, I'm from a small town in Utah, and then going to New Jersey, it was just total culture shock, and just everything was so different, everything was bigger. But my favorite memory, that is so hard. Okay, like, aside from volleyball, it was probably my senior year. Me and Madison, that spring when we were done with volleyball, we just go in the weight room every day and, like, just see Ange and Jason and Katie. Like, it was literally our favorite part of our senior year. Just, like, the consistency and seeing everyone and just walking at the same time every day. It was the best.
I had a question before that when you brought that up about seeing Ange in the weight room every day. Because I'm one of the baseball guys would be in the weight room. And I remember always seeing you guys in the weight room. And I'm like, Ange probably loves this because he can talk with you guys, talk shop. So that's too funny. Oh, Ange's the best.
Seriously, we could talk to him all day long. But yeah, that was our favorite part. And then, like, we even came back and visited twice. And, like, Jason's like, yeah, like, come work out. And I was like, all right, sweet. It's like, we were there and just, like, nothing changed. Like, it's seriously my favorite. They're the best.
They are.
It's kind of dangerous with with Ange, though, because you'll get into the middle of a conversation and you'll be halfway through your lift time already. And you're like, oh, wait, I gotta actually get through my lift now. I've gotten.
I know.
It's dangerous.
There were some days we were there for like 2 hours. It was bad.
I'll be in the middle of like a rep or something. He'll come over to me and start talking about this podcast. And I'm like, sure, I'd love to talk about the podcast for the next 45 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to be any more productive lifting wise, but hopefully, coach, don't listen to this one because some of those days I'm not very productive in the weight room. I make it up. Don't worry, but there's a lot of talking down there. So was there a game that you remember vividly here from Seton Hall? I know you played part of your career here during COVID-19, which was memorable for all of us here. But was there a game where you're like, yeah, that's a game here at Seton Hall that I'm never going to forget, and I'm always going to – that's going to live down in infamy for me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's hard. There's a couple. My all-time favorite was beating UConn on my senior night. Like, UConn was really good that year, and just – I don't know, like, you just kind of are realistic sometimes, right? Like, oh, like, I don't know if we're going to beat this team. And then you get to the game, you're like, oh, my gosh, like, we just beat them. What the heck happened, you know? But, yeah, that was so fun. That was a great game. Probably that one for sure.
Yeah, and I think it was Perry. Was there a stadium? She mentioned Marquette Stadium being the loudest, most ruckus. Was there a stadium for you that you thought, like, whoa, this is, like, legit, like, big-time volleyball, a little bit away crowd, a little bit of scariness there, or were they all kind of similar to each other?
I think Creighton was the worst.
Really?
Yes. Just, they had tons of fans. Marquette was so loud. They have this marching band that is so loud, but they didn't have a ton of fans, whereas Creighton has so many fans there, and, like, they're little people in their striped suits that are just screaming at you, and I don't know what it is about Creighton, but we always played terrible, so I do not like Creighton for several reasons.
Yeah, Creighton's always a tough place, even basketball, too, like, if you think about it, like, they're intense, and we talked about it back in the fall. Did you get to watch any of that Nebraska game when they played outside?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That would have been that seems like so much fun, and I want that to happen here somewhere on the East Coast, because I think that'd be so much fun. That'd get East Coast volleyball going. So,
yeah,
talk about some of the impacts Seton Hall, maybe academically as a whole, had on you during your 4 years here at the Hall.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Now that I've been at two different universities and like experiencing two different kinds of like education, I think one thing that was really cool at Seton Hall was a lot of the professors were like actually business people. So I got my degree in finance and IT, and like tons of my professors were just like people who had worked in New York and like had careers, and they just kind of did teaching on the side. So you did get that more just like real life like teaching and stuff, which was really cool. Whereas at Utah State, it was a lot of just kind of following the textbook. I still learned a lot, but it was definitely just more textbook, a couple of stories here and there. Whereas at Seton Hall, it was like just listening to a professor talk about like their work life for a while.
That's really interesting. Were there more like adjunct professors at Seton Hall versus Utah State?
Yes, and
more
actual, sure.
There's more professors at Utah State. That's their job. That's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I feel like the majority of professors at Seton Hall were adjunct professors.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. I mean, obviously, man, that's tough to say. I would say then for Seton Hall being the business school that it is, having people that have the business experience, obviously, that plays a huge role. Man, that's really interesting. I would have never thought of anything like that. So that's pretty cool.
And I think Seton Hall, like, it's just such a prestigious school anyway. But, like, you get all of, like, these people who have worked in the city, and then they're like, oh, I want to teach. I'll teach at Seton Hall because it's a really good school, you know?
There, yeah.
Yeah, one of the biggest adjunct professors I had during journalism was a professor by David Kaplan, who was a big-time sports writer for the New York Times, or the New York Post, excuse me. And he covered all New York sports for, like, 30-something years. And as his adjunct, I had a semester with him. He would bring in all these different big name sports broadcasters and journalists would come in. And I think that's one of the coolest things about here at Seton Hall on the business side, more so bringing in people that have done what you are trying to do as a student athlete or just as a student and getting real life examples.
Totally. And just a lot more, like they have all the connections. Mm-hmm. They're willing to connect you with people.
Right.
So that was, yeah.
Has any of those professors like led to any connections down the road that you're kind of pursuing right now? Or is, I guess beforehand, is there a professor that kind of stuck out to you in your time here? It's like, wow, that had a really good impact on me.
So what's funny about that is I feel like, so I got my master's in sports management and my undergrad in finance, and I think I decided that, like, I don't love finance. As bad as that sounds. So I love, like, just the sports world and stuff, and we can get into this a little later, but, like, I don't know if I wish I did the sports management major at Seton Hall, but the drawback for me was that you had to get 2 internships to, like, do the degree. So I was, like, I don't have time for that, like, I can't do it, which I wish I would have maybe made time or just thought about it a little bit more. But yeah, so that's definitely what I'd say. I mean, a lot of my professors, I've asked one of them for, like, recommendation letters, and I think if I were to reach out to them, they would totally, like, still set me up with people. I'm, like, connected with all of them on LinkedIn, so...
Yeah, that's definitely huge, and, like, that, for us, Jonathan and I, looking for those jobs now, getting those letters of recommendation and getting those applications is no more important than now. So let's really quick, we'll go back to some of your time playing. What was that transition like going from Seton Hall to Utah State? And what do you remember from that, like that transfer from your senior year into your grad year?
It was weird just because most people, they transfer like at the beginning of the spring season. You know, so, like, you're with your team for the spring, then you get to play in the fall, whereas I wasn't planning on graduating early because of COVID. Like, we just happened to get that extra year, and so I never, like, had thought to do a fifth year until I was, like, I am not ready to be done with volleyball. So that, probably in, like, October, I was, like, yeah, I want to play a fifth year. So after we finished our season, I started looking at schools, and I was like, I know it's kind of weird because I can't be there in the spring. So then I had this whole spring season where I was just kind of on my own. Like, me and Madison, we would just go into the aux, and we would just, like, go get reps ourselves, toss balls to each other, and, like, get blocking reps. And that's all we could really do. We'd practice with the team occasionally when the coach would let us. But it was just kind of up to us. So it was definitely a weird spring season. Where we just, that's why we're in the weight room every day, because we're just trying to stay strong. But my transition to Utah State, I think it went pretty good. Since I'm from Utah, it was definitely easy, just because I'm like an hour away from Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually get there in like June and they start training. So I moved up there in June, like right after I graduated. So I moved from my place in New Jersey back to my house, and then I moved up to Logan. So I did a lot of moving in like a matter of 3 weeks, which is a lot. But having that summer to train with them before our season started was super helpful.
That's really neat that you have to go back to your home state, and not only your home state, I know out west the states are a little bigger, only an hour away from your home, from your town that you grew up in. Like, what a cool thing for like your parents, I'm guessing, you want to see like probably all, or not all our games, but a lot more games that made than at Seton Hall. How did you get in touch with, I mean, obviously I know you're from Utah, so there's probably connections there, but how in particular did you get in touch with Utah State? We know that your dad played basketball there, right, for a season or so? Uh-huh. Yeah, so did that have any factor, or what was like the route like to get into Utah State?
So Utah State was my dream school ever since I was like 15 years old. I was like, I want to go to Utah State. My whole family graduated from there. Like, literally every single person except for me graduated from there. So I was like, yeah, I want to go to Utah State. My grandma lives up there. I had like tried to get recruited by them in high school. And I went on a visit and it was great, but just kind of nothing really happened from it because I went on my visit to Seton Hall and just loved it. I was like, this is the place for me.
Got it.
But yeah, so when I went in the portal, they actually reached out to me and they're like, hey, like, we saw you in the portal, we'd love to chat. And then I was like, I freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I called my dad immediately. I'm like, Dad, Utah State just emailed me. And I had known the assistant coach prior, but I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's my dream school. Like, this.
That's awesome.
So I was very excited. A couple, like, there was one other Utah school that reached out to me, but we only have like 5 D1 schools here, so it's kind of hard if you want to stay in Utah.
Got it.
But yeah, they reached out. I went on a visit, and I was like, this would be so cool to just finish out, like, my career, like, at home, and my family can all come watch me play. My family was really great about coming to my games in New Jersey, but, like, only my parents, they came to every game my senior year, and then
I
think my siblings came, like, 1 game, but then this year being home, or last year, my whole family got to come, my siblings, my nephews, like, it was so fun.
What a cool thing that is. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's definitely, it's not even underrated, it's the best thing, like, having your family come watch you.
Yeah. And it's just like a full circle moment, too, just like, this is my dream school, and I get to finish here.
Absolutely. And it seemed like, as you said before, like, you weren't done with volleyball at the end of your, I guess, true senior year. And you're like, I have more left in the tank. And to go back home, to go to Utah State, your dream school since you were a little kid. And since all your family went there, too. And then to go win, no less, as you guys did. No big deal. Like, a cherry on top. What a cool thing that is. That must have been awesome. Maybe touch upon that real quick. What that was all like. That whole experience, the tournament and everything.
So when I was transferring, I wanted to go somewhere where, like, I liked the coach and where I liked the team and where I knew we were going to win. Those are, like, my big things. And so I went on a couple visits, and I was like, oh, like, they did good last year. And then, like, Utah State, they had this new coach, Rob. He's awesome. And they had won they were, like, co-champions the year before. And I'm like, okay, like, this team's good. Like, I knew a couple of girls on the team. And I was like, I think that we could win. Like, so I wanted to go there, and we did. We won the Mountain West Championship, which was, like, one of the best days ever. I just remember after the game, like, crying, like, Mom, like, I did it. Like, we did it. And it was so cool.
I would just say, is there any, like, one moment from that championship? Was there, a team that you faced? Was there a particular set? Was there a cool moment behind the scenes that you'll kind of, like, remember from that whole journey?
I mean, that tournament, so we played, I can't remember who we played, first, but we played UNLV, and then we played San Jose State, and both of those teams we had lost to, and, like, I think we lost to one of the teams in 5 sets and 3 sets. We didn't beat them at all, so our whole mindset going into the tournament was, like, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. It's hard to beat a team 3 times.
That's right.
And so then we beat UNLV in the semis, which they were a really good team that year. They ended up getting, like, an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. We beat them, and then we're like, okay, San Jose, we got this. And then we beat them in 4 sets, and we're like, they didn't even, like, try, I swear. but, yeah, so we did it, and we were just like, it's hard to beat a team 3 times, and that held true for us.
Love that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff. And that's, thankfully, in swimming, there's no tournament, because I feel like a swimming tournament would be nuts. That would be so long. But for baseball, you guys have to go through that grind as well. But I want to just really quick backtrack here. So when you were getting recruited by Seton Hall, what was that main draw for you to come all the way to New Jersey to come here and play some volleyball?
Yeah. So I think it was when I was 17. I was just at a volleyball tournament in Denver for club, and, you know, you email all the coaches and you say, like, come watch me play on this court, blah, blah, blah. And I had a couple coaches, like, come watch me, and then the tournament was over. I remember the next day in my art class, I'm, like, looking through my emails, you know, for all the coaches, and I see this email from Seton Hall, and I'm like, Seton Hall, like, I remember watching them in March Madness, like, and I look, and it's like, hi, Emily, like, this is Coach Yeager. We saw you play in Denver, and we wanted to offer you a full ride. And my jaw literally dropped to the floor. I was like, I, like, had to, like, walk into the classroom, like, I could not believe it. And I was like, okay, I've heard of this school from basketball. I never reached out to them, and all of a sudden they're offering me a full ride. And I was like, wow. If this isn't a sign from God, like, I don't know what is.
That's so insane. Wow.
Yeah, so I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, check my email. Because I call my manager. And so my dad, like, checks my email. He's like, what the heck? And so I called the coach. And I was like, hey, like, I'm super interested. Like, what do we do? And she's like, let's get a visit set up. So I think, like, literally the next 2 weeks, me and my mom went out there and we visited. And I feel like when you're on recruiting visits, like, you just know. Like, there's no way to explain it. Like, I just had that feeling, like, this is so cool. Like, I love it. And I only got that feeling at Utah State when I went on a visit, unofficial there in high school. So when I was at Seton Hall, I was like, this is awesome. And then I came home, and, like, I talked to the coach. He's like, okay, you have a week, there's 2 weeks to decide. And, again, my jaw dropped to the floor. I was like, 2 weeks? Because I was talking to a couple schools at the time, but I didn't have any, like, official offers. So Seton Hall was actually, like, my first offer. As I was thinking about it, I'm like, I mean, it doesn't get better than, like, a full ride to Seton Hall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up taking it, and it was the best decision I could have made for myself.
Amazing. Amazing stuff there. So what kind of impacts did your family have on you during your playing career, whether it was at Seton Hall or at Utah State?
They have just always been so supportive of me. My mom and my dad, like, I worked a little bit, like, I coached a lot of volleyball in the summer. Like, volleyball was just always my number one priority. So I never had, I had a job, but, like, volleyball was always my priority, and they definitely helped support me in that. I mean, in the summer, my mom would come, and she'd just toss me volleyballs to hit, like, just getting reps, and they were so supportive, and they came to all my games when they could, and they played a huge part in my success.
That's awesome. And, again, so cool that you got to go back home for your last year and get to kind of full circle. They got to go to all your games, as well as they got to go to your games at Seton Hall, too. And what a cool recruiting story, not to look past that. Like, it was kind of, like I said, like a sign from God. Like, there we go. Like, there it is. Like,
it definitely doesn't happen to everyone, but.
No. What a cool story and a cool way that is to go all the way across the country, no less.
Yes.
And you say, like, you kind of got that feeling at Seton Hall. It's hard to describe, like, this is it. Was there anything, like, off, like, the athletics facilities that you're like, this is really cool? I mean, I mentioned, not that I make too much of a correlation, but Seton Hall being a religious school, was there anything in the faith aspect there that kind of taught you there and not really as much?
I mean, so I'm LDS, so Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and so we're Christian, and going to a Catholic school is like, this should be interesting.
Right.
And then, like, learning that, like, we had to take, like, religion classes, I feel like my religion definitely helped me, like, through those religious classes that we had to take.
Sure.
Even just, like, writing essays and stuff was, like, just felt like Bible stories or whatever, like, definitely helped. But I also, like, learned a lot. Like, we read a lot of, like, what are all those, like, I don't even know, but, like, seven rings of whatever.
I know what you're talking about, from Journey of Transformation.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Yeah, I know the story you're talking about.
Journey of Transformation courses.
Yeah, I remember the story, but I don't remember the title of it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like, just all of, like, the Inferno, something Inferno.
Oh, Dante's Inferno?
Anyway, yes, and, like, other things. But just, like, those, I had never read any of those before. So those were definitely, like, it's like, interesting, you know? But yeah, so I think that my faith definitely helped me with those religious classes, and just being surrounded by people who also believed in God was really helpful.
Right. Was there any Bible studies or any cool moments like that you attended?
I did attend a Bible study. I think it was my senior year with Jeffs.
Nice.
And me and a couple teammates went, and it was just really awesome to, like, be in that environment, like, with your teammates, and just be, like, vulnerable with them, you know?
Right.
And just, like, openly talk about God with them. I thought it was really cool. I mean, my friends now, like, we still have, like, open conversations about God, because, like, I don't know, it's just, like, cool that you can have those vulnerable conversations with your teammates and kind of help it apply to, like, you being on the court, too, you know?
Right, no, absolutely. I mean, we've talked with different student-athletes that have come on that have had a background of faith, and Seton Hall has helped to, I don't want to say improve it, but just expand it with other individuals, yes, that you said you can be vulnerable with. And it's cool, like, you get to see your teammates in a different light. And I mean, I definitely encourage people that, just even if you're not super, super religious, just to go to it, to see, just to experience, yeah, it, because it's a really cool thing. And I wouldn't be shy to say, if I thought that we'd be mentioning Dante's Inferno on this podcast before it started, I would have bet like a 1 in a billion chance. I thought that was so funny. Oh, yeah.
I don't even there it is. Remember it, but I just remember reading it and being like, what the heck is this?
So, Looters, you're saying it wasn't on your bingo card?
Yeah, it was not. I was not winning a Yeti water bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyways, thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you. So let's move on to some of the post-grad life here. And tell us some of the things that you've gotten to do post-graduation from Utah State with your master's degree, right?
Yeah. So I got my master's in sports management, and right now I'm helping manage a volleyball club. So it's the club that I played for, and the directors just always talk to me like, hey, like, when you graduate, I have a job for you. And I've always coached there in the summers, and I have a great relationship with them. And so I was like, all right, like, honestly, I don't know what I'm doing with my life right now, so, like, let's do it. So I work there. That's kind of, like, my full-time job right now, and then I coach a team as well. And I love it. Like, I needed to stay in the volleyball world, and it just has been huge for me in, like, that transition, because people do not talk about, like, the transition from your sport ending enough. Like, it is hard, and no one really helps you through it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what, when we talked with James Booth all the way back in August, one of the things he told us afterwards is, we always ask our guests, like, hey, what can we improve on and stuff like that. And he was a fifth-year soccer player, and he graduated this past winter, actually. He graduated recently. So he was talking to us. He's like, yeah, you know, a cool idea for some podcast episodes would be having alumni on and talk about their experiences post-graduation, because it's not talked about enough. Because, like, I've been playing soccer my whole life, and now it's not being taken away, but it's now coming to an end, and that chapter of my life is over. I have to now figure out life without it. So what are some of the things that you've done? Obviously, you've kept in contact with coaching, but how have you handled that transition for yourself?
I could talk about this for hours.
I agree. It's a three-hour
topic. Yeah. And when I finished that fall season at Utah State, they wouldn't let you work out in the athletic facility anymore. We had, like, training table, which is where all the athletes ate, and we couldn't go eat in there anymore. And I was okay, like, that sucks that I'm a fall sport then, because if I was a spring sport, like, I'd still, like, going to be eating there and working out there. And
they just kinda crazy, actually.
I know. I talked to, actually, Ange about it. And
I was
like,
going to say, Ange, like,
isn't this crazy? And he was like, yeah, that's crazy. Because, I mean, honestly, at Seton Hall, like, the fact that me and Madison were both transferring and they still let us work out there, like, I'm so appreciative of that. And so, yeah, when I was at Utah State, they just kind of, like, cut you dry and were like, sorry, like, figure it out, you know? Like, this is life now. And so me and my teammate Grace, we went and worked out in the NARP gym every day. And it was so scary. We were like, what do we do?
It's a different world up there.
we started working out there every day, and it was then finishing school. And I started coaching a little bit of volleyball that semester. I would drive down to my hometown, like, once a week and coach, which was good. But then once I graduated, that's kind of when it really hit me. And I was like, oh, man, like, it is over. And I seriously I've never cried harder in my life than, like, after our last game in Oregon at the NCAA tournament. I was like, it just all hit. Like, I felt nothing, and then all of a sudden I walk into the locker room, and it just all hit me at once. I was like, oh my gosh, like, it is over. But yeah, so that spring semester was just kind of like going through the motions, I feel like, and like just kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I swear I had a million job interviews with like professional sports teams, just like for sales roles. And I was like, I don't want to work in sales. Like, so just kind of a lot of like figuring out like what I actually wanted to do. And so then now post summer, I've like gotten to this role. I also have like a part time at the Jazz. So I work like all the home Jazz games, which is super fun.
Yeah.
There's a game tonight, so that'll be fun. But I just like greet guests, and it's just kind of fun to like be in the sporting world and make a lot of connections there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I joined like a women's league so I could like still play volleyball. I swear I was playing volleyball like every night. I was in two leagues and coaching and just working. And so I think just staying busy is what's really helped me. And just knowing that I'm not sitting around being a bum. And I'm actually like focused and driven to like get to where I want to be.
I think you kind of nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
How, well, to back up like 1 second, you probably went out like the best way possible, first off. Like, there's not a lot of,
yeah,
there's not a lot of student athletes that can go out like that. So to end your career the way you did, yes, is phenomenal. So like, that's like, at least you're hanging your head on that. Then to your other point you just made, like, you have a lot of things that you're doing now that you're not like entirely sure. And I think this is something that, again, we could talk about this for 3 hours about, mm-hmm, going, yeah, on for that long. But you're doing a lot of things to, I don't want to say keep you busy, but you're doing a lot of things that like are important and have value, yeah, in your life right now, like whether it's volleyball and coaching and working in the sports world. Like, that's awesome, because there's so many people, I don't say so many people, but it probably could be easy just to fall into the trap of, I'm done with sport now, like, what do I do? And then you kind of fall off the cliff there in some ways, if figuratively speaking. And that's kind of like how you do, like, what's next? But now you're kind of like staying involved, you're doing different things, and I'm sure someone's gonna be like, all right, we need Emily on our team, or we need more Emily. I'm sure that's right around the corner. So, but man, I agree so much. There is a huge, yeah, transition from the student athlete, like, mm-hmm, the whole experience to like the work world. But all those things, yeah, that you learned in the student athlete experience, like, they apply, like, all, yeah, of, like, the skills, they definitely do apply. I'm learning that more and more now as, yeah, kind of approaching time, so I'm sure you're kind of feeling the same way. But yeah, no, I think you nailed it right on the head.
Yeah, it's definitely a hard transition.
Yeah, and Lunars, you still have some of the spring left. Mine is coming to an end very, 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 right, very shortly, yeah, here. I'll be done hopefully by the middle of March, but as of right now, if I don't qualify by the end of February, so it's right around the corner. So talk to us a little bit about being a part of your old club team, the Utah Hive. And you were saying more on the management side, but have you been able to really give back to that community within your club volleyball team?
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part about coaching right now, just like right out of college, is it's not like I'm the same age as them, but I'm like just fresh out of volleyball, so I have a lot that I can relate to them about, and just share my experiences with them has been like really cool for me. And like, there's so many girls that I've just loved helping and coaching and just like doing private lessons and just trying to give back and give the knowledge that I have to these girls. It's really important to me.
Amazing. What are some of the best pieces of advice that you've given them? Maybe specific athletes that are looking to play at that D1 level.
Yeah. For me, I've never regretted a day spent working in the gym. Like, as much as you can get in the gym and work, do it. Every summer, I'd come home, and like I said previously, like, I'd go work out of the gym, and then I'd go to the volleyball gym and get my reps and eat, sleep, repeat. And that was kind of, and then I'd coach. And that was my life. So, I mean, just working your butt off, like, that's what made the biggest difference in my life. I think it was after my freshman year. That's when I was like, okay, like, I want to get better. Like, I want to, like, I played my freshman year, but like not as much as I would have liked. And so that was the year I was kind of like, okay, like I'm going to get better and I'm going to like have this starting spot. And so that was my time where I was like, and I've always been a very driven person and goal oriented person. And so like working, like, and just grinding, like, has never been like a hard thing for me. And like motivation, I think motivation's kind of like, you just have to do it, you know? And so just working your butt off, that's the best advice I have, is just you have to grind and you have to love the grind too. If you don't love it, it's not worth it.
That is for sure. I know, similar to you, how you said like your freshman year, you decided, okay, this is what I want to do. It was like my summer going into my sophomore year. And that's what I like, people have asked me like, oh, when did you decide you wanted to be a D1 athlete? I'm like, that, like, I just remember it vividly. We would have doubles mornings and nights. And I'm like, during that stretch of, it was like a 3-week stretch of morning, night. And that's all I would do. I didn't have work at the time. And I was just like, well, this is where I want to be. And this is where, how much time I want to drop. And like, you remember that vividly, because that's how kind of you remember starting up. And you're like, this is how I want to see, like, especially as a coach, as yourself, you want to see your athletes kind of have the similar trajectory. So it's kind of cool when you see certain individuals like, oh, they want it bad. They want to get somewhere.
Yeah. And it's the athletes that, I mean, cause now as a coach, I ask these athletes, I'm like, oh, like, do you want to play in college? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, I knew since I was like 14 that I wanted to play in college, you know? So, I mean, it definitely depends on the person, but like just knowing from such a young age, I think already set me up for success. And so I think, like, for these athletes, I mean, my sister, she always played volleyball, and she went and played at a JUCO in Kansas, and she only played for a semester just because she didn't love it, you know? So you need to, like, actually, like, realize, and she doesn't regret it. She's like, no, like, I'm glad I tried it. So I'd say at least trying to play college athletics, even if you just last for a season, like, you'll never regret, like, at least trying, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that, sure, like, the athletic experience is an investment. Like, you don't get to do other things that other regular students may be able to do. But, man, what a great experience it is if you really love what you're doing in your sport.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you talked about before, and with you coaching now, I think you're going to help those kids who are trying to look to the college route, kind of help them guide along their journey about whether or not they want to do it or make the jump to Division One. And I think that's a kind of cool thing to kind of aid on the process of and see that from, like, I know it's a different kind of perspective looking in now, but that'd be kind of cool thing that you can definitely see it into. Yeah,
for sure. And I mean, and playing at two different schools now, I think, like, helps me even more. I learned so much my year at Utah State.
Right.
Like, just my volleyball IQ went up like 10 levels. And so I think, like, being able to share my different experiences with girls and, like, when they're looking for a school or where they want to be recruited to, I have so much knowledge to give in that aspect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, like, having that mentor, too, as a former college athlete is huge. I remember I had my head coach's son, who was a West Point grad. He was giving me, like, kind of not directions, but like, this is how you're going to go about things to get recruited. And you and having that role as a coach is like, it's huge. Like, I only coach a summer league team, and I've had a couple kids ask me, how did you get there? How did you get to D1? I'm like, well, this is what I did. And then you see their eyes kind of light up, and like, that's a lot of work. You think I can do it? And you're like, yeah, you can do it. And you can see that light bulb turn on and really show, like, we want to get somewhere. So we're going to start getting into our last two segments here. And I think this advice to a pirate question is actually perfect for any coach, any student athletes that are looking to coach. So what is some advice that you would give to student athletes that are potentially looking to coach after their playing career? Just in general, just to make them a better coach, or just having that reassurance of like, yeah, coaching is a great thing to do right out of college.
Coaching, I want to, like, emphasize, it's not easy and it's not for everyone. I think for me, I've taken all of my favorite things from all my coaches and kind of put it together. Because now, like, I think, again, being at two different schools, like, just broadened my perspective so much, and I saw all these different coaching styles. And so just kind of figure out what coaching style works for you, I think, is super important. I definitely lean on more of, like, the positive side and I'm just trying to motivate my players, but I'm also super honest at the same time, because all I ever wanted from my coaches was to be honest. I'm like, just be honest with me, like, am I where you want me to be? Do I need to be better? And so just being honest with your players. But yeah, just finding which coaching style works for you. And I feel like when I first started club, like, I had a lot of first year coaches, and they were all like so mean, and I hated volleyball because of it. And like, as a coach, like, you're not trying to like ruin, you don't want to ruin volleyball for a player, or like ruin the sport for a player. And so just really finding that balance of like, okay, we're going to be a disciplined team, but I'm like, you're also going to love like this sport.
That's awesome. I think that's a very like well-rounded answer, because you realize like kind of the power and the intention that coaches have and the impact they can have on the players. Not just like, okay, I'm here like for me. It's like, you can impact how the player thinks about the sport for better or for worse. And I'm sure we all know people that, unfortunately, it was for the worse, but we also know the people that had coaches that were like the best influence they could have possibly had, and it kind of changed everything for them. And I think you're definitely going to be going down that road for sure pretty soon. And I wanted to mention one more thing before we head to our last segment here, Justin. Mm-hmm. You mentioned before about how when you were back home, you were just working out in the gym, and you would give any advice to any other athlete, hey, just put the time in the gym, work hard, put in the hours there. Was any of that because Andrew Gingerelli was in the weight room seat?
Oh my gosh, I love Ange. Like, seriously?
I when you were going on about that, I'm like, oh, it's definitely because Ange is in the weight room. Like, this is like, I mean, like, half the question is about how Ange just like bringing people in the weight room because you get to chat up with them, talk with them, and everything. So, anyways, but I digress. I had to slip that one in there. So, welcome, man. We got you.
Amazing. So, for our last segment, we do this with every one of our guests. It's called Walk the Plank, and now these are quicker based questions, but obviously if you have an explanation to it, please feel free to explain your answer here. So what is your favorite all-time movie?
Oh my gosh, that is so hard. I feel like I just saw Boys in the Boat, and that was really, really good.
Okay, I've never seen that one.
So I'll go with that for it. It was so good. Highly recommend.
Boys in the Boat. Jonathan, write that down. We got to watch that one for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Favorite?
It's in theaters right now.
Really?
Oh, it's new. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I'll have to mark it down. We're right now at campus with no one's here, so definitely something to do. Favorite snack on the road?
Oh my gosh. I love popcorn. It's my favorite ever. I love it.
Any specific? Plain popcorn, caramel, kettle corn?
I mean, on the road, I feel like all we ever get is skinny pop. But I love just popping my own and bringing it.
Justin, you knew your popcorn. That was pretty impressive.
Well, with we had Coach Pizzella on a while ago, and Coach Pizzella, I was ready to go, and he, nope, just plain old popcorn. Nothing fancy with it. So I did some studying up on my popcorn after that. Favorite post-match meal when you played?
Chipotle. Easy.
Fire.
You got to ask. What's the order?
So good. I get a bowl. I don't like beans, so I just get double rice, double chicken, the corn salsa, cheese and lettuce. And I don't like guacamole. I'm so weird, I know.
Well, it's actually $2 anyway, so toss it aside.
Yeah. But they're paying for it, so might as well go big or go home.
Oh, that's right.
True.
Hey, I didn't think about that. It's like the financial mind you got there.
When you played, what was your go-to song?
I don't think I should expose myself, but I will. My teammates hated me for it, but I would always listen to Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Okay.
Respect. And that is why Jason loves me.
Enter Sandman's a great song.
I'd always plug in my phone in the weight room, and I think that's also why they loved us, because we would play really great music, but I always had to throw that one in there for Jason.
Jonathan,
can
you...
Very nice of you. I love that.
Yeah, Jonathan, can you recall... We asked Ange who was his favorite music to listen to. Do you remember who he told was our favorite?
Me.
I think it was.
It's not me. He's favorite.
No, we did by team.
It was tennis. It was
women's tennis,
they,
right?
The
yeah.
The only reason why, is because they listen to different types of music than like we would listen to. Because I think a lot of them are international based. So they have different taste. Mm. But he was definitely not thinking about you, Emily, in that question. So
yeah. Yeah, he's gonna need a.
You might have to give him a call.
So when you walked into the weight room, Emily, and Angel Salmon was playing, Jason was like, "Yes, Emily's in the weight room today."
Oh man, too funny.
What was the best piece of advice your parents gave you when you entered college?
They just told me to just go live it. And I mean, it was so hard for me just being away from home, but they really encouraged me. Like, that first year, I feel like I really had to, like, stick it out, like, as people would say, and they were like, just give it a year, and they really, really, like, they didn't force me to stay there, but they were like, you have to give it a year, like, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think everyone thinks about transferring, right, and after that first year, I was like, oh, another 3 years of this, like, I don't know if I can do it. And so they really just encouraged me to stick it out that first year, and I'm so glad that I did.
Amazing. Who has been your biggest mentor, whether that was during your playing career or during post-graduation life?
Ange, just kidding.
Ange, you have such a fun time with
the episode. I know.
Yeah.
Were my biggest mentors. I mean, they're such hard workers, and I think they gave me the drive that I do have, just always making sure I'm working. Like, my dad would always check in with me, like, hey, like, are you working hard? And just, they've always encouraged me to follow my dreams and to make sure I'm doing the work that I need to do to get there.
Love it.
Love it. And the last one for me, in one word, how would you describe your playing style?
Oh, I'd say crafty.
Ooh, why crafty? That's a new one.
I feel like my freshman year, I remember going into my meeting with my coach, and she's like, Emily, like, you did so good this year. And she's like, why, like, what was, like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I think my biggest superpower was that I didn't even know where the ball was going when I was hitting it, so how would the other team know? That is so bad of me to say. But that's why that summer I went home and worked my butt off. But like, come my junior, senior, and fifth year, like, I learned like shots and just like, you have to get creative, especially when you're playing in the Big East. You're not going to be the hardest hitter. So you have to learn like where you're going to get kills at.
Amazing.
Awesome. Well, I think that wraps up Walk the Plank.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of wraps up our episode. And if we don't have any more Ange comments to drop, I think I'll start wrapping things up here. Or Emily, on a serious note, do you have anything else to add before we kind of finish up?
No, this has been so fun just reminiscing on my Seton Hall days. I love Seton Hall. Like, we just went back and visited in November to...
Oh, awesome.
For senior night for volleyball. It was so fun. I'm glad that Perry's staying there another year so we can go visit again. But I love it. It's the best school ever.
Oh, man. Well, amazing. You definitely left your mark and left more than a mark, left a legacy there in terms of on the court, in the weight room especially. and thank you for taking the time to talk with us about your experiences at Seton Hall, Utah State, outside of those colleges and what you're doing now, any advice that you had, your coaching, We really appreciate it, and I think everyone listens. You know, really have a good time listening to this, especially Ann. So we will. Yes. I think we're gonna start wrapping
up
here.
Thanks for the opportunity,
so.
You guys.
Of course, yes. Of course. So thank you again, Emily, and we really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much, Emily. And then coming up next week, we're gonna have more student athletes that are current student athletes. Can't confirm anything yet. I'm not going to tease it too much, but we'll see. You'll see on January 22nd as we have more current student athletes as we get into our spring schedules coming up. So that means baseball, softball, tennis, obviously more basketball, men's and women's basketball, maybe some more men's and women's swim and dive. Who knows? It might be just a big old surprise. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.